two knees just hit the ground, and a roar came out of me, and I just roared.
I was just stunned. It's the only way I can describe it.
I was heartbroken, devastated, because Eddie had been a very central figure in my life.
There was a knock on the door, and it was the then station manager who said Eddie Fullerton's been shot by the UFF.
Do you remember when Donegal County Councillor Eddie Fullerton was shot dead at his home in Buncrana? I'm Michaela Clark, and this is a tale of murder, collusion and a campaign for justice spanning over 30 years. It was 2 a.m, a Saturday morning, May the 25th, 1991. The news reached the home of his daughter, Amanda Fullerton, very quickly.
I remember that Friday was a scorching day. It was just a lovely day. There was a good feeling. I lived in Derry at the time, and we were out with friends that night, and we later returned to my house in Rosemount. Sitting in the living room talking to my friends, and the phone rang at around 2:30 in the morning. My husband went out to answer the phone, and it was my neighbour from Cockhill, and he asked to speak to me. This was a very, very unusual occurrence, and immediately there was a feeling that something was up. So I went to the phone, and he said, "Amanda, come home immediately. There's bother with your dad." No explanation given. I pressed him. I started to panic, but no explanation. So couldn't understand it. Just, I got the demand to get home urgently.
A sitting counsellor, a husband, a father, a brother, a son, a colleague, a friend has been assassinated in front of his wife, Dinah, at his home in Donegal.
We didn't have a car at the time, so our friends drove us to Buncrana. So we crossed the Cashquin border checkpoint and drove to Buncrana on the main road. During that drive down, we never met a Garda checkpoint, which was concerning in retrospect. So we arrived at Cockhill Park, and we were met with flashing lights from a few Garda cars that were there, and crime scene ribbon at the top end of the cul-de-sac, which was dividing the road and keeping people back, so the whole house was cordoned off. All of the neighbours were standing outside their houses, and I think quite a body of people had amassed then, cars passing to see what was up, pulled in. Everybody was concerned. There was a Garda I knew standing at the crime scene ribbon. He was Mick Murray from Buncrana. And I asked him what was wrong. And he told me that Dad had been shot. So my immediate reaction was to get to my dad. But Mick stopped me, grabbed me. I kind of tussled with him a bit, just because that's all was on my mind, was getting to my dad because he was shot. And then he just told me, then he had to tell me that Dad was dead. And I remember my two knees just hitting the ground and a roar that came out of me. And I just roared. I think you could hear it in Derry. And my husband, Billy, he just knelt down beside me on the ground and he just held me. My mother then, she had been there in the house when Dad had been shot, more or less in front of her. They had been asleep in bed when the front door had been sledgehammered in and the gunmen ran up the stairs, and Dad met them outside his bedroom door, but Mum was in the bedroom. He had actually put her in the wardrobe and they shot him. 6 bullets. And when they ran back down the stairs again, made their getaway, she had to step over his body on the outside the bedroom door to run and get help. There was blood everywhere coming out of his head. And she ran across the road to the neighbour who phoned me. And she was taken into the house of the neighbour next door. And she heard me roaring. And she said, "That's Aunt Mandy, I need to get out to her." So when I'm wailing uncontrollably on the ground, Mum came over to me, and I remember she was wearing a light blue nylon nightdress down to her ankles, but her feet were bare. And I just got up, and my mum held me. We held each other, and I remember we were both inconsolable. And I put my shoes on her feet and we walked into the neighbor's house. And then the word got out and took Mum into the bedroom and got her on the bed and I held her. And different members of the family started to arrive then. And then it was just, you know, hectic after that. It was just, we could not believe it.
Prior to the fatal attack on the 56-year-old, a meeting was held in Letterkenny. Among those in attendance was then Sinn Féin Vice President Pat Doherty.
Myself and Eddie and Liam McElhenney met in Letterkenny to go through some of the procedures and form filling that has to happen before nomination to an upcoming election. And we were discussing other things like the manifestos and print orders and various things to do with the elections. And the meeting went on maybe till about 11 o'clock. After the meeting was over, I left Letterkenny. My son Michael, who was only 11 at the time, was along with me and we came down home. And then sometime in the early hours of the morning, I got a phone call from Jerry McMonigal to say that Eddie had been shot dead. I was just stunned. That's the only way I can describe it. Towards the end of the meeting, we were expecting printed manifestos to come in from Dublin, and they were coming in on the 10 o'clock bus. Somebody in Dublin said they're on the 10 o'clock bus, but as anybody in Donegal knows, there's a number of buses comes into Letterkenny around that time. So a number of people had to go down and cover the three or four buses that were coming in. When they did arrive up with the manifestos, Eddie gave my son Michael one of the manifestos and he gave him some money. So I always remember that. Michael has always held on to that.
A devastating and shocking loss to the Fullerton family. The death of Eddie Fullerton sent shockwaves right across the county and further afield. Someone saddened by the killing was none more so than now Deputy Padraig McLaughlin.
It was my Uncle Colum, who landed up to our house in the early hours of the morning and told me the awful news. Obviously, I was heartbroken, devastated, because Eddie had been a very central figure in my life since we returned home from England. My father from Muncrana, but he had been an Irish Republican prisoner in England for 9 years from 1974 to 1983. We had all come home in 83 when he was released from prison, and Eddie had been a central part of our lives from 83. My father had passed away in a tragedy in 85, so Eddie was like a father figure to me, really. And I was actually with him along with my Uncle Colum. We were protesting the day before in Buncrana, and we'd been with him just hours before he was taken from us.
This is a death which spans much more than the death of a loved one. A public representative being murdered in their home has a chilling effect. Donal Kavanagh, journalist at Highland Radio, got a knock on the door he was not expecting that May morning in 1991.
It preceded mobile phones and electronic communication. It was a Saturday morning and I remember I was off and there was a knock on the door and it was Charlie Collins, the then station manager, who said, Eddie Fullerton's been shot by the UFF, you've got to come up to the station and cover this. It was the first time I'd ever encountered anything like that. Now, to be honest, I'd been raised in Waterford in the southeast, and obviously I was aware of what was happening in Northern Ireland. And since coming to Donegal and starting work on Highland the previous year, I had been covering, you know, stories and incidents in Derry and Belfast and Tyrone and so on. And, you know, I was aware of it, but it was the first time that somebody I knew had been murdered. And it was the closest I had been to something like that, where it wasn't some kind of an abstract name on a piece of paper. This is someone I knew. This is someone I had spoken to. And this is someone I could actually put a face to and put a person to. And I personally found that very jarring.
Those troubles raged in Northern Ireland for 30 years from the late 60s, a period during which tensions between nationalists and loyalists flared. While much of the north wore the signs of the Troubles, one town, Strabane, just a border crossing away, was the most bombed town in Europe during that period, and Derry, a place where one of the most infamous atrocities to occur, Bloody Sunday, again a mere distance away. Donegal, however, bore the fallout of the conflict. At the time of Eddie Fullerton's death, an active loyalist paramilitary campaign claimed the lives of many people with Republican links, including Sinn Féin politicians. These killings have long been claimed to be the work of British forces working in collusion with paramilitary groups. Questions have been raised by the family from the outset, including why were those responsible for the brutal killing of their father and husband able to pass back across the border into Derry with ease after the murder? Why was evidence missed? Why was a statement from a key witness not included in reports? And why was the 56-year-old not made aware that personal information relating to him was found in a loyalist intelligence cache in Derry in November of 1989, almost 2 years before his death? The Fullerton family have long held the belief that collusion played a huge role in the killing of Eddie. The Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland would decades later, following an investigation into the RUC's handling of paramilitary attacks by the UDA-UFF between 1989 and 1993, which resulted in 19 murders and multiple attempted murders, identify collusive behaviours and raise significant concerns about police conduct. Eddie Fullerton received a death threat prior to his murder, which has been claimed by the UFF. On April the 2nd, 1990, he received a postcard with a postmark from the Maiden City Action Force. It read, "Hello Eddie, just to let you know you are next." It was signed Colonel Murray. The Maiden City Action Force is believed to be a pseudonym for a loyalist paramilitary organisation.
He took the death threat very seriously. He did approach the Gardaí for protection, which they refused. He never made it apparent, but we're certain that it bothered him, you know. But it was never going to, you know, he's never going to stop being a councillor. He's never going to stop being a Sinn Féin activist. He probably was well aware that they would come for him at some point, and he didn't trust the Garda Síochána to in any way help him. He was very worried about my mom and worried about his own mother, how she would worry. So he didn't really make a big deal of it. He did play it down a lot, but he took it seriously.
The time came on May the 25th, 1991. Shortly after 2 a.m, the front door of Eddie Fullerton's house in Coghill Buncrana was broken down by a number of armed men with a sledgehammer. They made their way upstairs where he and his wife Dinah were sleeping. The councillor was shot 6 times on the first floor landing off the property. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Earlier in the evening, just before midnight, a family were held hostage for around 2 hours in their home outside Buncrana by 4 armed masked men, described as having Northern Irish accents. The sledgehammer used during the murder was stolen from the house, along with a Mitsubishi Lancer car. That very vehicle was found on fire at Colmore Point less than 2 hours after the brutal killing. The registration plates of the getaway car were destroyed in the blaze, but the chassis number linked the car to the murder of Eddie Fullerton. The UDA-UFF, later in claiming responsibility for the murder, stated that it was in retaliation for the murder of Ian Sproul on April the 13th, 1991, near Castle Derrick, something the Fullerton family always claimed Eddie played no role in. It was alleged that he assisted by providing the PIRA with a leaked and Garda Síochána document containing personal information about Ian Sproul. A subsequent investigation carried out by Gardaí found no evidence of such. A murder investigation into the death of Eddie Fullerton commenced immediately, in tandem with suspicions rising among his family that collusion played a significant part in his death. Amanda Fullerton says from the outset, they acted upon their suspicions.
Some of the neighbours, some of the family members were watching the house. The house was sealed off for a couple of days. I think they were in the house the night of the murder and all through the next day, even into the Sunday. So neighbours and family members, we didn't trust the Gardaí. So different family members were also keeping an eye on the house, and they were removing bags upon bags upon bags of information from the house. They didn't tell us they had done that, and none of it was recorded in the evidence logbook. Now, everybody knew that my father constantly carried a note, you know, a reporter's notebook, and he had masses of them and masses of notes, and he never threw them away either. So those were all taken. And other information that Dad would have had in the house. Anything they could get their hands on. They wanted to, we must have wanted to look through all of the information Daddy had in those books, but they weren't recorded in the evidence log. So there was no record of them being removed. My brothers had to go into the Garda station and ask what was removed. There was nothing, as I said, recorded. But then a few days later, the bags were returned to my brother Albert. Some of Dad's books were missing because they were all dated.
And would those notebooks have contained anything that someone wanted hidden?
My father wrote everything down. So if he'd observed anything, he'd have written it down. He was a great record keeper of that, as such. Because we didn't know what was in the books either, we have no way of knowing what they got their hands on and what they kept or what they destroyed.
The investigation was led by an Garda Síochána Conna, who sought assistance from the North Police Force, which was known as the RUC at the time, given the cross-border element to the incident. Sinn Féin Deputy Padraig McLaughlin believes the evidence that British forces assisted in the murder of Councillor Fullerton stacks up.
The reality is that Eddie became a major figure. We didn't have a very high number of councillors in the 26 counties. He'd won that seat in 79. If he had have not been assassinated, I believe he would have been elected as a TD. So obviously he was targeted for assassination. It wasn't an isolated incident, Eddie's assassination. There were other Sinn Féin councillors. John Davey had been killed in County Derry. Bernard Hagan, both councillors, Sinn Féin councillors in County Derry, were assassinated. And of course, Eddie, around that time, there were Sinn Féin members. So there was a targeted campaign of assassination. But I think the fact that they crossed the border, that they had taken over a house about a kilometre from Eddie's, kidnapped a family, taken their car, used a sledgehammer indeed in their house to sledgehammer the front door. The level of intelligence that was involved in Eddie Fullerton's assassination was not something that a loyalist organisation could have got on their own. There's never been any doubts that British state intelligence clearly was heavily involved in that. In our opinion, they may even have had agents on the actual assassination team. So we have no doubt about that. And we think that in the fullness of time, we will expose all of that. Albert Fullerton, Eddie's son, Albert had taken on the responsibility of investigating what had happened. And he worked so, so hard until his death in 2006 in a road tragedy. I mean, that was a double blow for the family that lost Eddie and lost their beloved son and brother, Albert. But Albert had exposed a lot of issues, and Amanda has carried on that work. And Albert, Amanda, and extended Fullerton family, you're very, very determined people. But I believe in the fullness of time that we will expose that the British state, in my view, right up to 10 Downing Street, were involved in coordinating assassination campaigns across the North, and in particular, the assassination of Eddie Fullerton. Why? Because they wanted to send a clear message. They wanted to beat down Republicans. They wanted to say to us that no matter where you live, we will assassinate you. We will take you out. It was, a campaign of terror using the full resources of the state, working with loyalist and unionist paramilitaries. If you analyse the circumstances around Eddie Fullerton's assassination, it's absolutely clear that the level of intelligence was extremely high, the level of preparation, the ability to get that gang into Donegal and back out into the North. And there's enough support evidence for that over the years. But I have no doubt whatsoever. But of course, in time, I think we'll prove it without a reasonable doubt whatsoever.
It was not only an attack on Eddie Fullerton, but an attack on Sinn Féin also. Pat Doherty was the party's vice president from 1988 to 2009.
We only had two councillors on the council at that time. Eddie, of course, was almost impossible to replace. We had a whole dilemma because nominations closed literally within a couple of days of the weekend funeral. We had all of that to deal with, and how do you replace somebody of Eddie's stature? It was almost an impossible task, because since he had come home from Birmingham, where he had been an active Sinn Féin member in the mid-70s, he was very, very active and involved in a huge amount of activity in Donegal. Eddie won our first seat in this era in 1979. And that was a massive breakthrough. Eddie would have been in his era, because I was just reflecting on it last night. I was thinking that it was 91 and the peace process was then starting, but not very much was known about it. But within a few years, like 1994, the IRA had a ceasefire and politics then really took off in a big way.
Every day I asked myself, what would Eddie do in this situation? One of the things that was so powerful about him was how he was rooted to his people, to his community. He liked to be amongst them. You know, he used to sell the Anne Foblock. Back then, there was Section 31, so Sinn Féin couldn't be heard on the airwaves, on radio or TV. So Eddie just used to go in amongst the community and sell the Anne Foblock. He would be walking through pubs, unbelievably, in Buncrana, Carndonagh, and he was writing down notes, helping people. For me, he was the perfect public representative, humble, rooted in his community, but also a highly intelligent man, very visionary about what he wanted. Hence the reason why we have the Eddie Fullerton Dam today, biggest civil engineering project in the history of Donegal, supplying water to huge numbers of homes around the county. So he was humble, but also great. That's the standard that I believe all Sinn Féin public representatives should uphold. And I hope that, you know, say, for example, if we end up being in government, north and south, I hope that we always go back to Eddie and we will, you know, when you're in government, you lose your way. Sometimes you'll make mistakes. But for me, if you go back to Eddie and how Eddie did his politics, you should always be okay.
Him winning that first seat here as a county councillor in Donegal was huge for the party, a seat that you then yourself would take on.
It was a big surprise at the time in the political scene, but anybody who really knew him, he came home in the mid 70s and obviously he just had this great persona and personality. And he was elected against the odds and he won the seat every time. It was a huge loss and it took us a long time to really get a grip of ourselves. And we'd lost his seat in 1999. Jim Ferry had won the seat in the election. So Eddie was murdered. It was in the middle of an election campaign. And then the election was only weeks after that. Jim Ferry stepped in what would have been Eddie Fullerton's seat and he won it for us. But we collectively then, I think we'd lost our way. We lost the seat. So one of the big things for me, whenever I stepped up to the plate in around 2000, 2001, was to lead the team, but also to work with the team to win back Eddie's seat. That's how we seen it. We let Eddie down. We had not continued with his work the way that we should have done. And we felt very sore about that. We felt we owed it to Eddie.
What a lot of people now would find it hard to visualise from those days is to have a Sinn Féin politician elected anywhere was quite a big thing. Like there would have been no Sinn Féin representation in the Dáil. There were at the time two Sinn Féin councillors on Donegal County Council. There was Eddie and there was a man called Liam McElhenney. And to have a Sinn Féin member on any council was quite a big thing. Obviously, Section 31 was in force at the time. So even though I would have been at council meetings with a tape recorder and we would have been recording councillors and broadcasting what they had to say, we couldn't record and broadcast Eddie Fullerton. And I think it's an awful shame that one of the side effects of Section 31 has been that nowhere on Highland Radio do we have or have we ever broadcast audio of Eddie Fullerton.
I must say this, and I'm only one member out of 9 members of the council, that there's a lot more cooperation now within the council, you know, in getting things done. But in saying that, I can see great things happening in Buncrana over the next 10 years. And hopefully we'll be all together on it. And we'll reduce emigration, you know, and all pull together for the common good. And I feel in doing that there, and with the spirit that we have in this community at the present time, the get up and go attitude as well of the people, and with a little help as well from central government to help provide the infrastructure that we need, that hopefully that by the year 2000 we will have emigration down to a trickle and people will be able to stay here and find employment.
Eddie Fullerton speaking there on Buncrana Main Street on St Patrick's Day 1990, just over a year before his death. He never got to see the year 2000. To date, no one has ever been found guilty and charged with the murder of the Donegal County Councillor. In January 1993, Gardaí requested information from the RUC on 4 people they identified as suspects in the killing. There was found to be no record of a response from RUC Special Branch. Later the same year, fresh intelligence received by the RUC stated that 3 of those previously identified as suspects by Gardaí, plus another individual, were responsible for Councillor Fullerton's assassination. They were interviewed by the RUC and subsequently released without charge, records of which have been found to no longer exist. Fast forwarding, and in 2009, five people were arrested by the Police Service of Northern Ireland in connection with the killing of the 56-year-old father of six. Four of the individuals arrested were previously either identified as suspects by Gardaí or by RUC intelligence. In December 2001, a man was arrested in Meath, County Donegal, and questioned in relation to the murder. He too was released without charge. Through the years, the Fullerton family have led a campaign for justice over the killing. Claims of collusion dominated their strive for answers. While investigations have continued, many believe the surface has yet to be scratched, with the truth of what exactly happened that night remaining uncovered. Despite police forces on either side of the border involved in the investigation and procedures in place for the sharing of information across both jurisdictions, an official and Garda Síochána RUC liaison desk was not established until 1996, 5 years after the assassination. Day-to-day liaison between Gardaí and the RUC were usually done through phone calls or border meetings, but it has been found that such contact was rarely documented. In addition, minutes of meetings between senior RUC and Garda Síochána officers at monthly regional and quarterly headquarter meetings were unable to be located. That's according to the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland's report, published on January 13, 2022. More findings of which will be discussed later.
There was a sinister rogue element controlling the Gardaí in Bunkran at the time, and this was borne out subsequently in the Morris Tribunal inquiry, which exposed corruption on a massive scale in Bunkran in the Gardaí. It turned out that the superintendents and senior detectives and some lower level Gardaí who were involved in Dad's botched murder investigation were suspended as a result of the Morris Tribunal on the grounds that they were found to be liars and corrupt. Given that, and the demonisation of people like Eddie Fullerton, my family knew from the outset that any meaningful investigation into the assassination of Eddie Fullerton was never going to happen.
The Morris Tribunal was set up in 2002 to investigate alleged Garda misconduct in Donegal. The report published in 2004 found that members of the force in the county were responsible for setting up arms fines to reportedly advance their careers. It also found gross negligence on the part of senior Gardaí in the county with regard to the handling of the arms fines. A superintendent and detective were found responsible for the bogus fines. Both were suspended from duty. At the time, Justice Minister Michael McDowell described the findings as a dark day for the Garda force, the findings of which compounded the belief that collusion was involved in the murder of Eddie Fullerton.
The claims of collusion were there right from the start, and over the years, the various politicians, Eddie Fullerton was replaced on the council and on the Bunkrana Town Council, as it was, by Jim Ferry. Jim Ferry was then replaced by Padraig McLaughlin, and Padraig obviously is there to this day now in Dáil Éireann, and they've been running the campaign. And alongside them and the politicians, you've had Eddie's family. Obviously, his son Albert led that campaign for very many years. Albert sadly was killed in a car collision some years back, and since then, Amanda, Albert's sister, has been leading the campaign. And we know various family members have been pushing it. So between the family and between the politicians and the support they've been getting from national politicians as well. I mean, inevitably, I think we are going to see this one run, as the old cliche goes, until we do get more answers.
At the time of the murder, there was an exchange between the RUC and the Gardaí. Suspects were made known to the Gardaí by the RUC. We were never told, and that was never followed upon at the time. Those people went on to commit more atrocities during the Troubles, like Castle Rock and Greysteel. Also that summer, there was another assassination in the north, and there had been a forensic link between that and my father's murder. And the Gardaí had gone up to visit the forensic team in the north. They knew all of this, and we were never told. And then that December, the Gardaí rushed through an inquest. When I always say obstructing justice, that is one example of amongst lots, justice being obstructed, because that inquest, we were never advised by the Gardaí. We should have had a legal representative there. We thought it was to do with the medical process, and that was it. We hadn't realised the meaning of an inquest, and that if there were anything forensically in an investigation that had come to light, it should have been brought up at the inquest. Lots of things. People that weren't interviewed, that should have been interviewed. I mean, the last person to leave our house that night was never interviewed, to my knowledge, to this day. And so, sadly, this lack of a proper, thorough and meaningful cross-jurisdictional investigation has never, ever been conducted by the Gardaí Síochána Síochána Síochána. And it's sadly borne out to this day.
And in terms of the witnesses that did come forward, was that hope that justice could be done at the time?
Well, a major witness came forward on the day of the murder, somebody who had seen something really significant on the night of the murder. This was made known to the Gardaí and it was made known to the RUC on the day of the murder. When we had the review of Daddy's murder investigation by the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland, the Police Ombudsman interviewed this significant witness. And in his report, he said this was a significant witness who had witnessed an indictable and triable offence. Now, this man came forward the day of the murder and he revealed what he'd seen. This witness was never made known to us by the Gardaí at the time. This witness came forward again. He was living in fear and he was interviewed about what he'd seen. No statement was taken from him. It was all verbal. Nothing ever happened after that. That witness's accounts just seemed to have been buried and we were never aware that this witness existed until the witness approached my brother Albert in 2003. Albert had been on the radio, Michaela, giving an interview, and the witness had heard him. He proactively contacted Albert and tried to find out what had been done with his account of what he'd seen. We got our legal representative at the time to take a statement from him. And he, to this day, is a very important factor in the investigation that we are actively pursuing.
The Fullerton family raised a number of questions and concerns regarding the actions of RUC officers prior to and following the murder of Eddie. It included the failure to record a statement from a witness who lived near where the getaway car was found on fire in Culmore. The witness, as mentioned by Amanda, claimed to have observed three men get into an unmarked RUC car, indicating that police facilitated the murderer's escape. The Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland, Mrs. Marie Anderson, in the latest report, stated that the RUC interviewed this witness. He told investigators instructed by the Police Ombudsman that on the night in question, he was woken at around 3 a.m. by the sound of his dogs barking. He looked outside and saw three men dressed in hooded camouflage clothing walking along the foreshore before they ducked down behind a wall. He claims he observed a high-powered Ford Sierra, which he believes to be a similar make and model to the type of vehicles used by the RUC at the time, drive along the road, turn around and pick up the three men before making off in the direction of Culmore Road. The witness says he passed on the information to an RUC officer the following day. Later the same day, he was visited by a plain-clothed RUC officer and two senior uniformed officers from the RUC and an Garda Síochána, who he spoke to in a car outside his house. He claims that officers seemed relieved when he told them he would not be able to recognise the men if he saw them again. The Ombudsman says she was unable to locate any record of the Ford Sierra car being in use or crossing a checkpoint that night. The investigation was also unable to identify the officers who spoke with the witness outside his house or locate police documentation relating to the visit. The campaign for justice for the killing of Eddie Fullerton has spanned over 30 years and continues to this day. The family has driven the campaign, their grief of the loss of a loved one continually spurring them on. There have been numerous investigations into the death conducted and reports published, all of which leave many questions unanswered. Amanda, Eddie's daughter, is the campaign's spokesperson.
The fight for justice has been really conducted by the family, Michaela. So in 2003, we established the Eddie Fullerton Justice Campaign. It was mostly the family. It was headed by my brother Albert as chief spokesperson. We started to mobilise. It was really exhausting because, you know, we were trying to just raise awareness and try and act in a kind of strategic way. Albert spoke in Dáil Éireann to any TDs that wanted to hear him. And he petitioned every TD in the country for support. And he also wrote to the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland and asked the Police Ombudsman to investigate the behaviour and activities of the RUC and their part in the murder investigation. At the time, the border had a Garda superintendent, border superintendent, and the RUC had an RUC border superintendent. And they had a robust schedule of meetings and exchanging of information, mostly about terrorist activity on the border, etc. But they met constantly to brief each side. We knew that that would be, you know, ongoing, and it should have been ongoing concerning the investigation into this assassination, because it was carried out in the Republic of Ireland, but the killers came from the north of Ireland. So when Albert wrote to the ombudsman then did sanction an investigation into the activities of the RUC on the northern side of the border. Sadly, we found out about that just after Albert had been killed in March 2006. Albert, before he died, also managed to persuade Michael McDowell, the Minister for Justice, to sanction an investigation into the conduct of the Garda Síochána Conna. That reinvestigation, if you like, went ahead in 2004. It involved detectives being sent up from Dublin to Donegal to interview certain people around the murder, etc. They weren't really that interested. It was just a cosmetic tick box and exercise, and it was a waste of everybody's time and a waste of government resources. It really was. We had no report, so we were looking for that report. And then in August 2006, that report was presented to us, and it was an absolute awful report. It was substandard. It was inadequate. It wasn't probing. We've had it reviewed by professionals, by legal professionals, by justice, the Pat Finucane Centre, a range of people, and they've all commented on the substandard nature of it. So we rejected it outright. We said, no, it's not an investigative report. You need to do better. We met with the Taoiseach then in 2006 and said exactly that. So then he told Chief Superintendent Noel White, who was running the reinvestigation, to continue with that and to be more probing, etc. And that again didn't happen. And we had no choice then but to work with the ombudsman. I worked with the ombudsman, and we met regularly with the ombudsman, the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland, and he continuously briefed us on findings by his investigative team. And it was the first time, Michaela, that we ever experienced anything like a proper, thorough investigation. It was the first time we were briefed about any evidence that had been unveiled. And it was the first time we felt like, well, we're at least getting somewhere with this. That investigation took years. We got that report in 2013. That was exclusively about the RUC conduct into the investigation into Eddie Fulton's assassination. Now, Dr. Michael Maguire said at the time that his investigation had been impeded by the lack of cooperation from the Gardaí. So that investigation then led to a wider investigation into 18 additional crimes and murders. They were all linked, and they all involved certain state agents and their handlers.
That investigation by the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland has now been completed and has identified clues of behaviours in 19 murders and multiple attempted murders in the Northwest between 1989 and 1993. As part of inquiries carried out by the Office of the Ombudsman, Mrs. Marie Anderson, police documentation was examined, which indicated that a military helicopter had been scheduled to fly between Ballykelly and Ebrington Army Camp within the hour after the killing of Eddie Fullerton. The RUC requested information from the military on June 6, 1991, as to whether the crew had witnessed any suspicious activity in the area as they flew. A response from the military was unable to be located. There was also an outstanding request from Gardaí to interview security personnel who were at the Culmer Road checkpoint between 2 and 6am on the night. The theme of the absence of records continues. In January 1993, Gardaí requested information on 4 people they regarded as suspects in the murder. No record of a response from the RUC Special Branch was found. At the time of Eddie's death, there were 3 permanent vehicle checkpoints located on the Donegal-Derry border. The Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland says efforts to identify police and military personnel on duty at Culmore Road on the night of the death of Councillor Fullerton proved unsuccessful. No records of roster duties exist. No records of police vehicles or a Ford Sierra car, a witness believes to have been used to collect the murder suspects as having passed through checkpoints around the time of the killing, were available. The Ombudsman instructed investigators to contact the relevant RUC border liaison officer who chose not to assist with the inquiry. Efforts to locate his relevant police journals, minutes of meetings with an Garda Síochána and other documentation proved unsuccessful. A significant finding of the report relates to the arrest of Eddie Fullerton on January the 13th, the year before his assassination, while attending a border protest. His family hold the belief that the arrest was unlawful. Councillor Fullerton was one of 11 people charged with the offence of interference with a border crossing at Lennimore Road. All charges were subsequently withdrawn. A reason as to why has not been established. The Fullerton family believe the RUC obtained his personal details during the detention process and passed them on to loyalist paramilitaries who they claim used the information to assist in targeting Eddie. The officer who arrested the 56-year-old that day chose also not to assist with the Ombudsman's investigation. Attempts to locate his relevant notebook were fruitless. Eddie Fullerton's custody record was examined. He was interviewed twice. Due to the absence of audio recording facilities at the time, interview records were handwritten. Such records are missing, as are photographs taken of Eddie while in custody. Ombudsman investigators have been unable to recover the full RUC prosecution file in respect to the arrest of him and the other individuals in January 1990. Mrs. Marie Anderson, however, in her findings, says she found no evidence to support the allegation that a member of the RUC supplied information about Eddie Fullerton to the UDA-UFF. Ballistics investigations, meanwhile, determined that one of the guns used in the murder was a personal protection weapon reported to have been stolen from the home of an RUC reserve constable 3 years prior to the killing and was also used in the murder of Thomas Dunahy, the attempted murder of James McCorriston and the Castle Rock murders, which claimed the lives of four people. The pistol used in the assassination of the Donegal County Councillor has never been recovered, but it has been established that it was used in the murder of another man, Daniel Cassidy. The gun is said to have been contained in an oilist arms shipment from South Africa in 1987. However, one of the most damning findings of the report was that Eddie Fullerton was not notified the personal information relating to him had been found in a significant loyalist intelligence cache in Derry in November 1989, almost 2 years before his death. The discovery was made following the arrest of an individual seen acting suspiciously outside the home of a Derry Republican in November that year. During follow-up searches, police recovered a large amount of documentation relating to suspected PIRA members and leading Republicans in the region. One type document entitled IRA Personnel, 1989, Republic of Ireland, contained the home address and a photograph of Eddie Fullerton. He was never informed of the find. And Garda Síochána have confirmed also that they held no records indicating that they had received information from the RUC that the councillor was under threat by loyalist paramilitaries. These significant findings come over 30 years after the assassination. Amanda told Highland Radio that as a family, the family of Councillor Eddie Fullerton, who was shot dead in his home, that they feel vindicated.
My emotions are mixed. It's been a long time coming, this report. It has vindicated our complaint that we set out that there was collusion with regard to the security forces with the UDA, with loyalist murder gangs. And we have been vindicated in that assertion. It's good to have it officially recognised finally. There are implications still for the Irish state and Garda Síochána. The idea that a democratically elected political representative was assassinated as a consequence of security force collusion with loyalist paramilitaries raises huge concerns that need to be addressed now.
For the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland to say concerns of collusive behaviours raised by the family of Donegal County Councillor Eddie Fullerton, who was shot dead at his home in Bunkrana in 1991, were legitimate and justified is a huge step forward in their justice campaign. But it is far from the end.
We have employed a very, very robust and strong legal team. And my mother is in the process of taking a case against the PSNI, the Chief Constable of the PSNI, the Ministry of Defence and the Northern Ireland Office. And also, my mother has an application already looming for the Attorney General in the Republic of Ireland. And that is requesting it that they re-establish the inquest into the assassination of Eddie Fullerton. The case my mother's taken in the North will at least force disclosure, will at least allow us to obtain through legal avenues additional information. We can only speak on the facts that we see in front of us. We can't speculate, and we've learned that. We have to work with what we see as really evidential.
Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, speaking prior to the publication of the report, believes British forces had a role in the murder of Eddie Fullerton.
Talked about the Fullerton family, but there are other families who've then come together to form justice campaigns. And if you analyse what happened from the 70s, 80s through to the 90s, the British state repeatedly coordinated assassination campaigns, murder campaigns, working in tandem of loyalists. A very high percentage of loyalist unionist paramilitaries were either British Army agents or RUC agents. And then when families got organised, came together, working with human rights campaigners and started to ask the hard questions, there was cover-up, prevarication, obfuscation, again and again and again. I am absolutely clear, thanks to the campaigns of these families across the six counties and indeed across the 32 counties, because you have the Dublin Monaghan bombings and, you know, you obviously have the Cavan bombings, you have the Fullerton family. So across the 32 counties, what these families have proven, and I think it's incontrovertible at this stage, is that the British state coordinated campaigns of assassination and murder of very, very high numbers of people. And then as it materialised in the late 80s and 90s, they were targeting human rights lawyers, Sinn Féin public representatives, political activists, GAA officials. So there was a clear campaign to terrorise our community, and it has failed, but we need to continue to try to probe at this and to get the British state to accept responsibility for what they have done.
During an online tribute to mark the 30th anniversary of his death, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald supported the Fullerton family's call for an independent public inquiry into his death.
A life cruelly cut short when he was assassinated at the age of 56 in his home in Bunkrana by the UDA, aided by agents of the British state. The Fullerton family has long called for an independent public inquiry into the circumstances surrounding Eddie's death. And we reiterate that call today in the name of truth and justice. His biggest achievement is the Eddie Fullerton Dam and Reservoir, 5 miles from Bunkrana. Eddie Fullerton moved mountains to deliver sustainable, safe and clean water to so many of his people.
What was to become the Eddie Fullerton Dam was given the go-ahead the day the 56-year-old councillor was targeted by the UFF. Eddie Fullerton has been remembered as a larger-than-life character, a great speaker, a passionate councillor, a kind, compassionate father, and someone who left a mark.
I could wax lyrical about Eddie Fullerton. He was passionate and dedicated and really a hard-working man of the people. He loved Ireland and he loved the people of Donegal. He never missed a council meeting in Lifford and was relentlessly proposing motions to help improve the lives of people of Inishowen and Donegal. On the 25th anniversary of his death, for instance, the Donegal County Council presented my mother with a This Is Your Life book of his life as a councillor over the 12 years. It was all of his motions in order. That book was a testimony to his dedication and his drive and his passion, you know. For instance, a key achievement for my father was the Eddie Fullerton Dam. So my father knew that you couldn't have jobs, you couldn't have infrastructure, you couldn't improve the manufacturing, you couldn't build all those houses because he wanted everybody to have high quality houses, you know, decent homes. You couldn't have that if you didn't have the water, for instance. So it was really important for him to find a place for a dam. And he did. And he campaigned for that. I mean, he literally found the where the dam is, you know, he scouted the area to see where he could catch the water. And that's a testimony to him. Oh, he wanted to create employment, minimize immigration, and he had a real environmental activist. And the odd time then when you look through the motions, you see this, you know, this odd motion to get the British Army out of Ireland, you know, that would turn up every so often. But for me, for my dad, you know, his kindness, his compassion, his tenacity, his dedication, and most of all, his humility, his love of everything Irish, and his great sadness about the partition of the country. Those are all the things I remember. And he was a beautiful soul and he was a lovely father.
Eddie was a larger than life character. You know, when he came into a room or a meeting, he would just fill up the room, and he was all full of ideas and suggestions and proposals around how to advance the party and how to develop policy and how to develop politics. It was a huge, huge loss, not only to Sinn Féin, but obviously to his family.
As someone who was covering council meetings, I well remember there was one day, it was a sort of a stuffy day, and the chamber that the meetings took place in, it could have been quite a warm and stuffy place, and these would have been the days where smoking indoors was still allowed. So several members of both council and press would have smoked at council meetings at the time. So, you know, inevitably windows would have been open. And there was one day I was walking up the main street in Lifford toward the chamber, and you could hear coming out the window this voice, "Mr. Chairman, I have to say," and it was the voice of Eddie, and he had this really sonorous, really well-spoken voice, and he was a great speaker, a great orator, and a very passionate councillor as well. And I mean, you know, you'll have heard this reflected by others, but he would have argued his point in the chamber. I mean, he would have argued on Republican points and points of wider national politics, but he also, like others, would have been arguing for upgrades of the road at Fawn, upgrades of the road between Buncrana and Bridgend, and he would have been arguing for developments in Buncrana and arguing for more employment and so on, and he would have been arguing the finer points relating to his own hometown that every councillor argued, and he did so with passion. It's no coincidence, or it's no surprise that Eddie's picture hangs in the chamber of Donegal County Council. There's been a picture of Eddie Fullerton in that chamber for many, many years, and I think it will continue to be there as long as people remember the name of Eddie Fullerton. And I think, given the way the campaign is going at the moment, I think they will.
For me, it was his kindness, his decency. He had this fantastic physique, you know. It's this great beard. Martin McGuinness in his poem described it as a creator with an earthy face. It's a fantastic way of describing it, his earthy face. Just his lovely, warm, decent. It's such a tragedy that he was taken from us, you know, at 56. He would have gone on to be a TD, would have gone on to done so many great things for all of us. But what I'm grateful for is just to have known him, just to have spent time in his presence. He has left an indelible mark in my life, and I hope that, you know, that I can, in the work that I do, always follow his path. You'd never fill the shoes of somebody like Eddie Fullerton. It's impossible. But if I can follow his path and to stick to the lessons that he taught us as a public representative, you know, I won't go too far wrong. But an absolute privilege to have known him. One of the most wonderful people you could hope to have met. A true man of his people and a beautiful human being.
Thank you.
This programme has been funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.